Now, the message I'm going to share with you this morning, I'm asking all of you to pay attention. Take to heart what I'm about to say. I believe starting last week, this is a word of the Lord has given me. I believe it's for me. Start first. They start with me. All right. But I believe as I'm listening to other preachers, actually, and I'm realizing, wow, God is speaking the same thing. And last week I talked to you about the warning against rebellion. And some people might be thinking, well, I'm not stubborn. I'm not rebellious. And when you think about it, if we would be honest, each of us here, we've got some type of rebellion in us. Amen? All right, give me an amen. I'm going to ask for those amen now. Okay? You are my cheerleaders. All right? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, sister. All right, so warning against the spirit of rebellion. Last week I talked about that. If you weren't here, I encourage you to go back and listen to it on our website. Also, I encourage you when you come to church, bring your Bibles. You know, I understand we live in a time of technology. You have your Bibles in your phones, in your laptop, and your iPad or pads, whatever. It's good. Awesome. But I strongly encourage you to have a physical Bible. You know, not only that, I also encourage you to have a God notebook because God speaks. Okay? There is something they used to say when we were in school, you guys might remember, les paroles s'envolent, mais les écritures restent. The writing stays, but the words flies. It's like when you write something, you have a chance to go back and read it again. But then sometimes you hear something, it might be good, but later on you forget it. It was good, but when you take time to write down what the Lord is saying, something you hear, there's nothing like, you know, when you're going through a season for you to go back. That saves us a lot. A lot of times when God speaks to us, Kendra and I, especially her, she writes every details, every words, you know. When you come, you're listening to a sermon, you're listening to a message. Develop that practice to have a notebook, you know, a pen. Because God wants to speak to you. But are you willing to write down, take note to what he's saying? You know, we all know that Jesus is coming back. And I believe what he's saying right now is a word that we all need to take to heart. This morning, I woke up, okay, 4 o'clock. The first thing that came in my mind, a call for fasting. And it's like, you know, like I said, I'm not going to call the church to fast because I feel like we should fast. I don't do that stuff, okay? But I'm like, okay, when? So the last Friday of this month, we're going to fast 24 hours. Now, I understand some of you might not be able to fast for 24 hours because of health issues or physical, you know, but don't take that for an excuse, okay? You do what you got to do. Take your medicine, take your vitamins, whatever, but we're gonna be fasting and praying for 24 hours. And I'm going to put the details together. We're going to do it the last Friday of August and the last Friday of September. And then for September, we're going to end the fasting with a night of worship. We have already talked to the worship team. That Friday night, we're going to come full band. I come and we're going to praise the Lord. Okay? But we're going to start the fast on Thursday afternoon, like Thursday evening to Friday evening. You know, like Thursday at 10 p.m. to Friday at 10 p.m. Okay? And I'm going to have details on what the Lord wants us to fast for. Because I heard it this morning and I know I need to do it, and we're going to do it as one. And every month, remember, Kendra said it, I'm going to put emphasis on it again. Every month, once a month, guys, we come together intentionally as a local body to pray, to seek God. Once a month. So if you are in town, put that on your calendar. Just like you have your doctor's visit Tuesday at 10 o'clock, you can't miss it. Make sure you have that on repeat every last Friday of the month. Your church come together to pray. There are some of you, I've never seen you. You've never come to pray. You need to come to pray as one. I'm not saying you don't pray. No, I'm just calling for you to come. There's no condemnation in what I'm saying. It's just encouragement. Come on, let's do it. I want to see you when we do our once a month prayer time. If you are in town, if your time allows it. But once again, be intentional. Because sometimes when you are intentional about doing something, you make time, you find time to do it. Can I have my amen? Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. So, if you don't worry about opening your Bibles, but I'm going to read you some of the verses, but this is where we were last week. I like this saying from this quote from John, I guess his name is John Calvin. He says, "For there is no one so great or mighty that he can avoid the misery that will rise against him when he resists and strives against God." And I want, just this in itself can be a sermon. But I want you to either take pictures of later on the screen, because we've got some more note coming on the screen. But think about it. A beautiful rose, you know, we like to smell good, beautiful roses. If the smell of the rose, the fragrance of the rose would want to destroy the rose, never happen. I mean, it will never happen, because the smell of the rose is for our enjoyment. And look what's happening in our, in many generations. People, for some reasons, are coming against God. I said it, and I always ask myself this. What has Jesus done to people that they hate him so much? Thank God that he opened our eyes. Now, we know the goodness of God, because we can't be like, oh, I'm better than these. But for the grace. Amen. Give me my amen. But for the grace of God. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would probably be deceived, just like they are. Give me my amen. So, let me read this verse from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. It talks about the great apostasy, which, what when you study this word in the Greek, it means renunciation of belief, abandonment of belief, treachery, faithlessness, unfaithful, or in other word, unloyal. I mean, the antonym of this word, all these words, is loyalty. So we're living in a society where people are not loyal anymore. It's a lot easier for people to just disown each other. You remember when we were growing up, when a radio would break, we would fix it. Maybe you're too young to remember that. But I remember when I grew up, we fixed everything. Because we didn't have Walmart. And about getting Walmart, I see. We did not have Walmart. So we fix everything. I mean, and I remember seeing even some guys, you know, car tires. It's like the tire has no more threads. The tire is just smooth tire because they can't buy another tire. So therefore, we live in this society. People don't want to fix things. They, you know, if I'm tired with you, I'm tired with you. I just find new things, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong, okay? There's nothing wrong with buying a vehicle. If you can afford it, go buy a new car. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Enjoy it. But you remember those days when we used to buy a car and we keep it like Cuba. You remember the story of Cuba? Cuba still have cars from the 1940s. Because, of course, they were under an embargo that country was closed to outside importation. So, therefore, they had to fix. There's a show on YouTube. Go watch it. The life in Cuba. And then they tell you how people in Cuba live closed from the outside world. Man, it's amazing how you see those guys, man. They're fixing a carburetor. Now we go to AutoZone and get a new carburetor. Who's going to deal with that? And there's nothing wrong with that either. But my point is, listen to what it says. It says, now, brothers and sisters, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it from us, as though the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come, underline that if you have your Bibles, until or unless the falling away comes first. Now, in this verse, there is so much. But today, I just want to talk about the falling away. I mean, the next part of the verse also talk about the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, you know, and that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, cross-reference, if you go back to Daniel chapter 9, chapter 11, chapter 12, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Ezekiel 28, you know, don't worry about those things, you know, because maybe I'll come back to that. It talks about the son of perversion, the lawless son of lawlessness will reveal himself before the day of the Lord comes. And if you study the prophecies in Daniel and Revelation and watch what's happening all over the world, you will also realize that we are living in the last of the last days. So as much as people are rebelling against God, we need also to be reminded that there are many places revivals are taking place. For example, I don't know if you heard this year, 5,000 students seek Jesus at WVU, and 1,000 responded to an altar call at a university. This year, I mean, you hear pockets of revivals in the colleges, right? In the universities. You hear about those things? You won't hear those things on CNN or Fox News. No. You won't hear those things on the news, on the radio. So you need to be aware of what God is doing all over the earth. And don't, you know it, the bad guy in the movie never wins. No matter how good he looks. Right? Never wins. So in this movie, we know Satan is doomed. And he already knows it. So therefore, he says, I'm not going by myself. I'm not going out by myself. Satan is the father of rebellion. He's the father of lies. So everyone who live in lies is a son of the devil. So if you're living a double life, if you're living in rebellion against, what is the definition? We had it on the screen. What was it? Rebellion is what? Help me out. Refusal of what? Refusal to come under authority of someone who is above you. For example, if you're resisting your parents, children, young kids, or young adults, if you're living at home, or there's another thing, you're working for somebody, you're resisting them. Now, listen, if you are working for somebody, you don't like them, go find another job. Go find another job, because as a citizen of heaven, everybody that is in a position of authority over your life, you shouldn't resist them. Because when you resist them, you are being cursed. I'll read that verse to you later. I mean, talk about children, honor your parents. You know, I tell people, among children that has a reason to disown their parents, especially their father, I have many reasons. And my reasons would be valid. But I will never abandon my dad. I will honor him. I will respect him. I'll be there for him. Does he deserve it? No. You know, I can tell you a story. I like to tell stories. But not today. I honor him anyway. Why? Because he is my authority. If your parents didn't do what they do for you to be here, you wouldn't be here. Even though they didn't protect you, even though she was a bad mom, he was a bad dad, absentee, bad example, you still owes your parents respect. The government. The government is people that God placed in authority. Should I rebel against the government? No. Now, unless the government asks me to do something, first of all, that will violate God. There are four level of authority. It's God's supreme authority. For us here, it's the word of God. So I don't live by government or by what governments say alone. I live by what the word of God says. So if government is asking me to do something that would violate the word of God, I'm going to be like, government, judge for yourself. Judge for yourself. And then you've got, of course, your conscience. That's the voice of your spirit. Regenerated spirit is also an authority. So how many people in church rebel against their conscience? That's why when you stop listening, when you stop obeying your conscience, you know, like if you steal this phone, your conscience says, Ricardo, this phone is not yours. You shouldn't steal it. And then I'm like, man, I feel bad. But I really like this phone. I feel bad. Yeah. I shouldn't. Man, I can't sleep, man, but I like the phone. All right, then your conscience is like, take the phone back. You're like, no, man, I really need this phone. Man, you know, it's a new iPhone, man. Man, you know what? I'm in style now. What are you talking about? Then you keep it. And then later on, you come to church. What happened? You see a guitar. Your conscience is like, you better not touch it. And then you start having this conversation between you and your conscience. Oh, there's nobody here. So it's like, be careful, your sin will find you. Be careful. Before you know it, you stop obeying your conscience. Eventually, your conscience don't say anything. And then you go and rob a bank. And then you end up with life sentence. Sometimes it can be physical or spiritual. Some people are ending up with life sentence if they don't repent. If you're listening to me right now, I pray that the Lord would reveal in your heart, where are you rebellious? Is that how you say it? Rebellious. I'm praying the same thing. I said, Lord, shine your light in my life. Give me humility. Because once again, what is the opposite of rebellion, according to the Bible? It's obedience. In obedience, in surrender, we find peace. You know, some of us, we don't like to obey. I don't like people to tell me what to do. I don't like it. How do you say mbaridamun? Sometimes it's my Creole word that comes in. It's like there is something, you know, I don't owe anybody nothing. Don't come here and tell me what to do. I'm an adult. In Haiti, you say mbaridamun. And it means, it's like, man, don't you dare tell me what to do. That's pretty much what it means, right? Yeah, just leave me alone. Don't you dare come here and tell me what to do. Who are you to tell me what to do? And then you've got even young kids, young adults. So even like for me as a pastor, I am under authority. I have people telling me what to do. I was talking to somebody recently. I said, so how is your walk with the Lord? And they said, well, you know, my walk with the Lord, I know their walk with the Lord is not right. So I'm asking to just create the conversation. And then the person says, well, you know, my walk with the Lord, I'm trying to find out what my walk with the Lord is, not from what others tell me it should be, but from my own. That's deception. Do you know where I go to know how my relationship with the Lord should be? In the Bible. You know who told me? My spiritual fathers, my spiritual mothers, my pastors. Those people God placed over my life to tell me. The Bible says, instruct the child. So therefore, the spiritual authority has a responsibility to tell you, to tell me how I should go. So then, I get dressed with this rebellious mindset. I think, well, I don't need anybody. Now I'm going to figure it out. That's what happened to Satan. He started rebelling against God. He started to question God. The opposite of rebellion is obedience. Not only that, I love this. The opposite of rebellion is walking in the will of God. So do you want to know God's will for you? It is possible to know God's will for you. Obedience, walking in the will of God. Rebellion also means, we read that, it's, I like that. Rebelling against God, refusal, right? You can take a picture of this screen. It's refusal to come under. You gotta be under authority. This is a subject I'm gonna take time to teach in the coming months. Understand authority. Because I believe, and I see it, one of the problem we have in the church, people don't understand authority. For example, I mean, I wish somebody else would be saying that about me, but, you know, I'm humble. I humble myself before the Lord. I'm nothing without Jesus, okay? I'm here to serve. But at the same time, I am after Jesus, below Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. I am the pastor here. So if you come to this church and you don't respect me, you are rebelling against God. I'm not demanding respect. Respect is earned, right? And I respect myself. I respect all of you. I love all of you. But if you're walking in through these doors and you're walking by me, and some people do it. They're walking by me, pretending, seeing me, just like ignoring me. Yeah. I pray for those people. I say, God, you know, the Lord is teaching me the heart of Moses. Back in the days, I say, Lord, set lightning down, please. That's the attitude I want to have. But I'm learning. I want to be like Jesus and Moses. He's like, God, have mercy. They don't get it, Lord. They don't get it. Do you remember when I was young and stupid, when my dad's telling me, my mom is telling me things not to do, and I'd go, I thought they were dumb. And then someday the light came in. You all remember, you know? And then one day the light came on. You're like, wow, my dad, my mom, they really love me. Your parents will never give you bad advice unless, especially if they're godly. Your godly parents will never give you bad advice. And in your context, it could be your godly spiritual parents, your pastors, your mentors, people that God set over your life. God hates rebellion. And he says it in 1 Samuel chapter 5 and 23. It says, rebellion is as witchcraft. And you know what witchcraft is? I think our next slides, we have those. Rebellion, witchcraft is the worship. It's magic. You know, it's voodoo. People here in America, they practice voodoo too. They go to, I see psychic palm reading. People goes to palm readers. They want to know what tomorrow holds. Do you know they're lying to you? they don't know. Some people believe it. Faith come by hearing. It's not just the hearing from the Lord, word of God. It could be hearing from the word of the devil. Because whatever Satan is saying, you believe it. If you believe it, then you know, it's like you receive it. It acts for you. Do you know, even when you believe in, excuse me guys, I have Creole words today, fetish, when you believe in divination, I talked about that last week, right? Divination, fetishes. So people would go to a witch doctor. I'm telling you, I've got stories. People would go to a witch doctor, and the witch doctor would like, well, you know what? You have this migraine. When you go home, when you enter your door, front door, you're gonna get five corn kernels, and you know, how do I know? I'm just making it up, okay? It's just an idea, okay? But I know it happens. You're gonna use five corn kernels, something like that, and then you're gonna buy a bottle of drink, you know, some kind of peroxide, you know, and then you're gonna mix it with a little Coca-Cola, and then when you get there, before you enter the house, you're gonna drink a cap, and then you're gonna jump inside. I'm serious, right? Okay, then they jump inside, and then they're gonna drink another cap and turn around five times. Some people do that stuff, they get healed. Yeah, you know why? Because the enemy, Satan, can heal as well. Uh-huh. That's why in Mark chapter 10, the Pharisees, even after, right after Jesus healed a blind and a deaf and a mute, a blind guy, they came to Jesus saying, well, what you do, show us a miracle so we can believe. Show me you can move something or do something, do a miracle. And Jesus is like, man, you this generation, why do you look for miracles? You know, the enemy, Satan, the devil, he's able to do miracles. Satan can heal you. He just don't really heal you for long. He counterfeit anything the Lord has. Are you with me? I'm just talking about witchcraft. So make sure you have no witchcraft in your life, in your house, idols, some of the things you adore, you worship. You know, it could be, don't worship your money, don't worship your job, don't worship your children. Because whatever you worship will keep you away from the presence of God. Whatever's keeping you away from the presence of God will keep you out of heaven. It could be your job. It could be your career. It could be your self-esteem. It could be also hurt. People hurt you. I've gotten hurt in church. I've been in church for over 20 years, been pastor, lead pastor for 15 years, man. You come talk to me. I can tell you stories after stories how people rejected me. How people misunderstood me. How people bad talk about me. Do I get hurt? Yes. Do I cry? Yes. Do I want to shove them, cut them, give it to them? Yes. But when I look at the cross, you know, we were talking about that in our car yesterday. We all want the glory. Let your glory fall, but let me remind you, glory does not come without suffering. The glory of God, you'll never encounter the glory of God without rejection. You'll never encounter the glory of God without pain and suffering. You will never encounter the glory of God. No, we all want the glory. But until you understand that glory, that like being like Jesus, comes with dying on the cross. Unless I'm dead on the cross, there's no resurrection for me to identify with Christ. And I believe that's what God wants to do. That's what He's doing all over the world. He wants to do this in your life here in this church. He wants you to understand. Go deep. Where are you resisting Him? Where am I resisting God? Where am I just being hostile? You know, sometimes it's really not the messenger. It's the message. You know, people, truth sounds like hate to people who doesn't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the truth. So therefore, they hate the messenger. I'm just the messenger. And if only you knew how much God wants you, how much He loves you, how much plan He's got for you. How much, man, how much more? What is it? Jeremiah 29, right? For I know, He says, for I got an idea. I know the plans I have for you. Plans for you to prosper. How? Spiritually. And then it doesn't stop there. Emotionally. And then physically. Do you know? It's the plan of the enemy for you to be physically ill. The more you don't feel good physically, the more grumpy you are. Oh, I've experienced it. When my back is killing me, my knee is killing me, man, I wake up grumpy. And I want to chew everybody up. You know why? Because I'm just in pain. Pain's not fun. That's why the plan of God for you is that you live a life full, to the fullness of it, in spirit, in body, and in truth, in body and in soul. And I think that's one thing the enemy came in the church and kind of once again deceived the church, where people are all about spirit, 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 heaven, heaven, heaven. But we're living, while we're waiting to go to heaven, we're living a miserable life here on earth. Because we are mistreating. We're not taking care of the temple of God. And we all know our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible also says this thing about rebellion. Isaiah 63, it says, rebellion grieves the Holy Spirit. It causes Him, the enemy, to fight against you. So when you're in rebellion, it leads your heart. God hates rebellion. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion leads to a hard heart. You just become hard. Those with a rebellious spirit says God doesn't care. They think God don't care. But man, guys, when you surrender, man, I tell you, man, God cares. Ooh. He's such a good, good father. You know how I got this revelation? I have surrendered. I'm not resisting. Man, I'm like, yeah, last night, that was a good example. I'll give you a short testimony. So I have he might be watching this later. I have my ministry school director. So we were, you know, we just starting a new session. So before last week, 2 weeks ago at our meeting, and I'm going over the principles and stuff. And I told him, hey, I'm going over some of the principles. I said, hey, this is what this is the way it should be done. And he told me, he's like, Pastor Ricardo, I don't think so. And he goes back saying, that's not what you used to say over the principles. I said, no way. This is what I used to say. Man, the guy was, God bless him, he was very wise and very humble. And I'm like, no. And I told the staff, about 22 people, I said, this is, and a lot of them were looking at me like, where is he coming from? I mean, this is all new stuff. And in my mind, for some reason, I guess I forgot. But he was so graceful, gracious. So we let it go. School started, week one, week two. But I'm like, man, he called me the other day and we're having this conversation. He was unsettled. He's like, you know what? Our conversation was just, I don't know, but that's not what you used to say. You coming up with all new principles and stuff. I said, that's what I used to say. And of course, the buck stopped with me because I'm the boss, right? I said, hang on, let me check with Kendra. Because I know Kendra would remember. So last night, on our way home, I said, Kendra, yeah, so this is what we've been doing, long story short. I said, right? This is Kendra looked at me. She's like, no, you won't. And I'm like, wow. I said, wow. I am the authority, but I was wrong. I said, hang on. I gotta call him right now. I gotta call my school director. I gotta tell him I was wrong. Thank God I didn't abuse him. I was just like, hey, I don't care what you said. I said, this is what I'm saying now. He's like, oh, you're changing on us. So I called him right away. I said, man, you were right. I am so sorry. And I thank God that I don't have a hard heart. You see, when I hear the truth, I want to change. I don't care what you think. I would even give you the reason I'll take the blame. I just want Jesus. I want to reflect him. And when someone brings something to my attention that I'm doing wrong, man, I am so sorry. I just didn't know. This afternoon, I'm having a meeting with my staff because I gotta talk to them. I gotta tell them, guys, I was wrong. You all were right. You see, rebellion will harden your heart. Are you still with me? You know, I'm gonna stop there because I have so much. This is a good study, huh? The spirit of rebellion. Where are you at? You know, I invite, you know, Alyssa, just come play. Let's take a minute. I want you to go in your heart. Are you resisting God? Are you resisting his word? I'll come back next week. We'll follow up. We'll continue. Are you resisting God? Are you resisting his word? Are you resisting those he placed in authority, spiritual authority over your life? You don't want to be like Satan. He's the father of rebellion. This morning, I encourage you to go deep in your heart. Let's make this between you and God. And if you need prayer, I'm going to make myself available. Come to the altar. If you need to repent and just, you know, stop living for yourself. And if you're watching this now or you're watching later, give room to the Holy Spirit. Come to Jesus. He's a good Father.